Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment to be quiet and expectant before God. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we're here today in this place because we believe this story is true. We ask now that you attend to us by the power of your Spirit to speak to us once more, matters of life and of death, and of following Jesus with all that we have and all that we are. We believe. Help our unbelief. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, listen for God's word as it comes to us now. First, from the book of Genesis. It's the 12th chapter, the call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred. Go from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And add to the fourth chapter. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. New Testament lessons familiar, John, the third chapter, the first 17 verses. Story of Nicodemus and Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee whose name was Nicodemus. He was a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "You're a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Indeed, God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the whole world might be saved through him." The prophet Isaiah says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but he says the word of our Lord will stand forever. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, you know, I hadn't spoken to you in a while, but it's good to be here today. Some Sundays you see me dressed like this. Some Sundays you see me dressed in Sunday clothes, but then there's some Sundays like a Sunday a few weeks ago when I was dressed in a black shirt and some BDU cotton khaki pants. And if you see me dressed like that on a Sunday morning, it's probably because I have something to do with the chaplaincy later in the day or maybe that morning. But 3 weeks ago was one such Sunday. I had to leave right after church was over in order to drive up towards the upstate to meet with a sheriff to make a plan about how we might provide assistance and support to his deputies, his officers. Just a few days before that, a number of his deputies and he himself had responded to a terrible house fire. And despite their best efforts, after even risking their own lives by going into the house, a grandmother and her 16-month-old grandson had died in the fire. And you may or may not know this, while we're all upset by any of the tragedies we read about in the newspaper, public safety officers are particularly upset by sudden and traumatic injuries or death of vulnerable people like little children and older adults. It takes a very heavy emotional toll on public safety. Now, that story I just told you is awful enough. But what would become clear on the morning of the fire was the fact that the surviving grandfather was my friend, and he was a co-worker at SLED, and he had left earlier in the day to go down to Charleston for the bridge run to work. It was his wife Karen and his grandson John Michael. On that day, I was helping train a cohort of new public safety chaplains, and suddenly our conversation shifted from a very serious conversation about intimate partner violence to a discussion about the precariousness of this creation that God has made, and it's a place where accidents happen. It's a place where innocents are sometimes snatched away in the twinkling of an eye. And it's on days like that that we need these texts from the Gospel of John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever so believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. On this Will's Emphasis Sunday, certainly the general precariousness of the creation and a specific sad story about a grandmother and a grandchild losing their lives might push us to think, as 2 Kings says, to get our house in order. I don't know if it pushes you, it pushes me to think about it. If I died very suddenly, as Karen did that day, would those I love benefit from my efforts to be sure that I had a will, that I had an updated will? Did I talk to my lawyer about a durable power of attorney, a health care power of attorney, other directives, other instruments which would help them if I wasn't able to make a decision for myself or if I was suddenly called home to heaven? I want to talk about this text from Genesis for a minute. These first verses from Genesis 12, they begin with God's command to Abram to go out from his home country, from his family, from everything he knew, everything that was familiar to him, and go to a land that God would show him. It's a story about God calling him to leave behind what was familiar and face only what was unknown and unfamiliar, to leave behind his sense of security and move into a future where he didn't really know what was going to happen. And you might ask, how important is a little text like those four verses from Genesis? How important is that in the great sweep of Scripture? Well, when I first got out of seminary, one of my first assignments was the teaching of teachers in the Bethel Bible Study Program. Some of you may be familiar with that. Harley Swiggum was a Lutheran pastor, the author of that curriculum. And it's cold in Richmond, Virginia in January, and I had to tell my new bride that my assignment was to go to Daytona and to study the Scriptures. So I did. Harley Swiggum was there. He met us. He was teaching a class of new young pastors about teaching this curriculum. And I remember he said this about this Genesis text. He said, if there's such a thing as an interpretive key which opens the door of understanding to both Old and New Testament narratives, then certainly that key is precisely here. A promise, I will bless you, an obligation, so that you will be a blessing. And then a prophetic note, by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. So if you take your highlighter and you open your Bible to the book of Genesis and you think about, what is this thing, what is this blessing, what is this word blessing, what does it mean? Well, one of the things you're going to highlight, you're going to find out that it's used 88 times in the book of Genesis. Now, that's one of the ways we study Scripture. Harley Swiggum taught us the frequency, the use of a word. It must be an important word if it keeps getting used over and over and over again. So what is blessing? Blessing is a gift from God. Blessing is something that's mediated by human beings, and the Scriptures say sometimes non-human beings like angels, issues in goodness and well-being in life. Blessing, well, it can be something spiritual, but it can be something tangible. Blessing is often seen in terms of fertility and the multiplication of life. It can be seen in terms of herds and flocks. It can be about fields and forests. It can be about new human life. We talk in with language like, my spouse and I have been blessed with the birth of this little boy or this little girl. Blessing can be about material well-being and about peace, about success in life's ventures. I want you to take a leap with me from the time when Genesis was written all the way up to the present day. And for ancient Israelites and for modern-day Jewish people, and for those of us who have been adopted into the chosen family of God through the waters of baptism, the whole point of being God's chosen ones has to do with God's decision to use special agents, special people, in order to bring blessing to the broader human family. And that broader human family really knows a lot more about suffering and hurt than they do about blessing. And Harley Swiggum said it best. He said, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And that is the core of the covenant story with Abraham and Sarah and their family. And I would say it remains God's intention for us today. That's how important Genesis 1 through 3 is for us today. So it leaves us with a question. So if we believe that the living God chose Abraham to be a blessing to the world in spite of all the brokenness and wickedness and sinfulness you read about in Genesis 1 through 11, and if we believe that the promise of blessing and the purpose of blessing is not only to Abraham and his family and succeeding generations of his family, but also to the nations of the world. And if we finally believe that because we're an Easter people of the new covenant, engrafted by baptism and inheritors of the promise and the purpose of blessing, if we believe those three things, then how shall we live in light of this promise and in light of the purpose of the blessing? How shall we live if we are indeed blessed to be a blessing? I want you to imagine the first few lines of Genesis 12 as like a mirror. Think of it as a mirror, and I want you to consider, when you look in a mirror, you see a reflection. And I want you to consider two reflections with me. The first reflection I want you to see is a reflection of the church. Keep in the back of your mind a voice that's telling you, you are blessed to be a blessing. Maybe that's the voice of your favorite preacher. Maybe it's the voice of your favorite Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's the voice of your parents or your grandparents, someone you trust, someone you believe you are blessed to be a blessing. And you know, sometimes the church gets it right, but sometimes the church gets it wrong. I would remember talking to a friend of mine. We were up in Northern Virginia. We were in Alexandria. We were both at National Police Week. We were hosting a dinner for surviving family members and co-workers of officers who had been killed in Virginia, the Carolinas, and Georgia. And after it was all over and all the helpers had gone home and all the families had left out of there, my buddy and I were just standing in the church parking lot one night in May talking. And he told me, he said, you know, the subject of the church came up, and he said, you know, Eric, I don't really go to church anymore. And he and I are close. I pressed him a little bit on that, say, well, tell me more about that. And he said, well, it's because when I was a little kid, I got abused by a preacher. And I told the people I was supposed to tell about it, and they didn't do anything about it. And that preacher moved on, and later he died. And now my friend felt like a kind of a refugee, believing in God, but really not too interested in organized religion. So sometimes the church gets it right, and we carry out the commandments and the causes of Christ, and we provide congregations which are a sanctuary, a refuge for people searching for meaning, and we work on Christian hospitals and Christian colleges and habitat houses. And when I ride into the parking lot and I see the signs that say AA and NA meeting downstairs, I say, sometimes, yeah, we get it right. And it is a tremendous blessing. But if we're honest, I would say we need to keep staring into that mirror of Genesis 12 and ask ourselves, is indeed the church of Jesus Christ being the blessing the living God is calling us to be? So the second reflection I want you to consider is yourself. And I'm going to consider myself. In Genesis 12, God hangs that mirror right in our line of sight and calls us to see who we are. Are we seeing a blessing? Are we seeing a curse? Maybe we're seeing both of those things. But here's my prayer for us. My prayer is that God show us still a better way to follow Jesus, to hear his teachings, and as Ephesians 5 says, to be imitators of God as beloved children, to live in love as Christ loved us. Friends, if you believe the story's true, then let it be your mirror and live your life knowing that you are blessed to be a blessing. Now, we began this morning with that sad story, that tragic story about the sudden and unexpected death of a grandmother and her grandson. Ellen reminded us recently in a sermon, I honestly remember her saying it, but I can't tell you when. I do listen to her, but I don't remember the date. But she reminded us in a sermon that none of us are going to get out of this thing alive. That's absolutely true, 100%. And there's an old funeral prayer in the Book of Common Worship that has this line. I hope somebody reads it at my funeral. Oh Lord, let us know the end and the number of our days, that we may know how fleeting life is. For we live as strangers before you, wandering pilgrims, as all of our ancestors were. And the truth is, we don't know when God will call us home. We don't know if it'll be quickly and suddenly. We don't know if we'll be like Job and we're old and full of years. Let's use Genesis 12 as our mirror. Let us be a blessing to those we love. And on this Will's Emphasis Sunday, one of the ways we do that is be sure we have a last will and testament in place that it's updated and properly filed. And let us, through our will, be a blessing to our family and also the next generation, and to our children and to our church, to the causes of Christ in the world. The very last verse of this Genesis passage, the fourth verse, so Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He was 75 years old when God said, I want you to think about things in a new way, and I'm going to scare you with this, but this is my mission, and I want you to carry it out. You know, I think God doesn't care if you're 75 or 25 or 105, but he invites us to get our house in order, to take care of those we love, and to consider how we as individuals and we as a church might be a blessing to the world. Let's pray together. Eternal God, you teach us that we are blessed to be a blessing. You've given us the teachings of Christ. You've given us Holy Scriptures, our rule of faith and life. Father, attend to us. We do believe this story with all our hearts, and we seek still a better way, that we might be found as true followers of Jesus and reflecting your call to us to be a blessing to the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.